As we're walking through our series today, I want to talk about another value together. We want to equip and multiply. And that connects to the passage that we were just reading this morning. But we want to equip and multiply. We actually want to build up so that others can lead out. And this is really going to impact how we operate and choose to live as a church community. After World War II, the economy, it was quite weak, especially in the United States. And so there was a need to rebuild the economy, to get people purchasing and living. And there was a sense of hope and victory in the air. And there was a sense of, let's get moving again, that the depression and the war times have passed. And now it's a new day. And this became really the heyday of advertising, that there was a sense of, we need to get people purchasing, we need to get people buying, we need to get people to move the economy forward into a new day. And with the emergence of TV as a new medium of advertising, this became really a time of glory for marketers and advertising. Things that were previously luxuries became necessities. And so now everybody needs a TV. That's a necessity. Everybody needs a car or even two. And the different household appliances started to come out that now actually everybody can have these appliances in all of their homes. So who's thankful for a dishwasher in the place that you live right now? Like sometimes I load that dishwasher up so full and I remember to when Natalie and I didn't have a dishwasher. And I think, thank you. But even these things were seen just as luxuries, but they became necessities. That there was a movement of actually helping teach everybody to consume. That everybody needs to get these things. We need to consume these things. And consuming has become the air that we breathe. And I don't like to admit that for myself. I don't want to think of myself just as a consumer. And yet this is the air that we breathe. I was listening recently, and someone made a comment about thinking about the U.S. military as an example. That in the 30s and 40s, the U.S. military was, you know, Uncle Sam needs you. Be loyal to your country. But that advertising doesn't work anymore in an era of self-service and consumption. So it's grown and evolved over the years. So now it's be all you can be. That actually serving your country is about you. It's about you becoming all. We can help you become all that you can be. And so I wonder, what are some of the things that you're looking for to consume? And how does this impact us, the challenge for our lives, as we think of us as consumers? We naturally think, what's in it for me? What can be offered to me? And so we go church shopping for a community of people, asking, what's in it for me? Have you ever invited somebody over to hang out or watch a movie, and then they ask you, what are you going to do? Or what movie are you going to watch? And I've been in those scenarios where sometimes you're realizing like, oh, what us hanging out is dependent on whether this is good for you, like whether it's a good enough choice of your free time. We naturally think this. It's all about me. It's all about you. So how do we face this challenge? I was thinking about David Foster Wallace, who told the story about two young fish swimming along in the water, and they encounter an older fish, and the older fish says, "Hey boys, how's the water?" And then the two young fish look at each other and say, "What the heck is water?" And just that we don't recognize the air that we breathe, the worldview that we're in, our default tendencies. How's the water? There's a famous quote actually by Rick Warren, who Wayne mentioned earlier in his the best-selling book in history besides the Bible, A Purpose-Driven Life. But he said, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less." Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. And I think this quote's actually been inspired by C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis made a comment. He wrote about a humble man, and he stated this. I'll read the quote. He will not be thinking about humility. He will not be thinking about himself at all. If anyone would like to acquire humility, I can, I think, tell him the first step. The first step is to realize that one is proud. And a biggish step, too. At least, nothing whatever can be done before it. If you think you are not conceited, it means you are very conceited indeed. And so here's the challenge. So here's a challenge for me, and I think the challenge for us. As we think about being a people who build others up, who people who contribute and participate and serve Jesus as King. The challenge is that we breathe the air and have the worldview and are just mingled in the, we're in the water of what's in it for me. Where that we, it's actually, why would I serve unless it serves me? That this is our challenge. How do we work this through? How do I work this through? We want to be great. We want to matter. We want to be happy. We want to be strong. And here comes Jesus and he says, greatness involves serving. Mattering involves loving. Happiness is actually upside down. And strength, true strength, involves weakness. How do we step into the upside down ways of Jesus and his kingdom? As we talk about equipping, it takes humility to be a healthy equipper, and it takes humility to want to be equipped. It takes humility to want to lean in and build. There's an openness. And so I want us actually to read this value statement together. We want to equip and multiply. We want to build up so others can lead out. And so I'm going to read this, and then there'll be a portion where we'll say all. We want to see people mature in Christ and be equipped for his good works. There are many gifts, many needs, many unique opportunities, and we want to focus on equipping towards maturity and multiplying towards mission altogether. We want to be disciples who multiply disciples, missionary leaders who multiply missional leaders. We want to see each other flourish and see our region saturated with the gospel as Jesus is made known. Altogether, we want to equip and multiply. We want to equip and multiply in love. I'm going to pray. And then let's look at Ephesians 4 here together. Father, we thank you for your word. Many of us in the room right now, we have a whole bunch of things on our mind and on our hearts. And we can't change the water that we swim in, the air that we breathe. But we recognize that you can change us. And so we want to open ourselves up to you this morning. Would you do that? For our good, for your glory. Speak to us now in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. This, we're looking at this passage, is a bit famous for equipping, and here's a bit of the overview. Paul writes to the Ephesians in the first century, and he talks about how we're made alive through life in the triune God, that as we actually come into relationship with God through Jesus, that we find life, and we're made alive through life with him. And then there's one body, one unified body, one Lord, one faith, one family. There's a sense of unity that comes when we come under the one King, Jesus. And yet, Jesus, who is the leader overall, the victor, the savior, he draws people out of death to life and he rescues us. And then as King and victor, he gives gifts to those in his kingdom. And so there's one family, one Lord, one body, and yet there's a diversity of a variety of gifts that are given. And there's people who are more mature that are to help each other, that help others mature. And that immaturity needs to be addressed because it leads to instability and it leads to divisiveness. And the goal and the source is Jesus. And that Jesus is love, and that we mature in love, and love leads us to build each other up. And so three observations I want to make. One, we all matter. Two, we all need equipping. And three, just end on love. And so if you open your Bible there, grab one of the red ones around you, Ephesians 4, I'm going to read verses 4 through 7. Apostle says, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So my first observation, we all matter. So he's talking about, what's the key word in that little passage? Shout it out. One. Yeah. He said, reads it over and over. One Lord, one body, one. So yet in unity, under Jesus, because there's one King, one Lord, one purpose, one mission, one body under him, and yet there's diversity of gifts, that every one of us matters and that we're given gifts. And so verse 7, but grace was given to each one of us, that every single follower of Jesus is given a grace, a gift to contribute towards Jesus' purpose, that everybody matters and is given a gift. There's a diversity of gifts given. We all matter. This is like echoes Romans 12 that says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. So all of us are given different gifts. And so briefly, I just want to talk about what is a gift, who gets a gift, and why does Christ give gifts? First, what is a gift? When he talks about grace or this special blessing that is given to each one, there's a difference between a natural talent and then what is often called a spiritual gift. And so there's common grace, common goodness given to all humanity, where all of us have different talents that enrich the world. So people that don't know Jesus have talents, and they bring creativity and beauty and goodness to enrich the world because we're all made in the image of God. This is God's common grace to us all. And yet, when one becomes a follower of God and steps into the triune life and receives the Holy Spirit, there is a special grace or gift given to that follower of Jesus to not just have a talent that enriches the world, but actually to be enabled and blessed in a particular way to participate in edifying others up spiritually and bringing the healing and the freedom of Jesus' kingdom. And so it's a talent is naturally enriching, but a gift is spiritually edifying, that God's blessing is on that. A spiritual gift, a charisma, a grace, is not about the activity of the human. It's about the blessing of God that works through that. In the 1800s, there was two famous preachers, one in England, Charles Spurgeon, and one in America, D.L. Moody. Charles Spurgeon was an orator. They say naturally gifted, like he could have been a prime minister. Just such a dynamic personality and preacher and speaker. And used mightily by God to bring international change at times. In America, you had D.L. Moody, uneducated, stammering at times, bad grammar. They said not naturally gifted in the same way as Spurgeon. And yet, there was a spiritual enablement and a blessing of God upon D.L. Moody to teach, to speak. And so you see with Spurgeon that there's a talent given and God layers a grace of gift on him of speaking. And with Moody, there's not a talent, but God enables the gift of teaching or speaking upon him. And so within our lives, all of us are given a gift. If you're all of us have talents. And if you are a follower of Jesus, then all of us get gifts. It's the power of God, the blessing of God. Who gets a gift? I just said to everyone, to each one of us, verse 7. Every follower of Jesus is gifted by Jesus. Different gifts, but the same Lord. We all matter. So let's read verses 7 to 10 there. But grace was given to, someone read those next two words. Thank you. Grace is given to each one, every single one of us, that God has given you, if you're in part of his kingdom, has given you a grace, a gift. He's got something in you, a seed planted in you that he wants to bless and work through, that he's given you specifically that you can do something that not everybody can do. It's a grace given to you by King Jesus to participate in his kingdom, to bring edification. Each one, everyone. Maybe you think, well, I don't know. I can't stand up or speak like this or do that. There's a grace that God has given to you. We all matter. He goes on. This is an interesting part. Therefore, it says, and he quotes, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. Verse 9. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth. He who descended is the one who ascended far above the heavens that he might fill what? All things. That he might fill all things. So what Paul does here is he has this quite interesting quotation. It's like a summary quotation of Psalm 68. That's what's highlighted there, talking about there's an ascension and there's gifts given. And so he's given this image that he draws in Psalm 68 in an interesting way of a victor, a king, who brings victory, who frees a bunch of captives, and then as the victor, as the authority, as the king ruling, gives out gifts to those that are part of his kingdom. But he says, but he who ascended, Jesus the victor, he actually first went down and descended to the grave. That our king, our victor, actually went all the way down to death, and then came all the way up to life and hope, that he rules, that he reigns, that this is our victor, the one who's defeated sin, Satan, and death. And it's this victor who's giving gifts to all of his people, giving grace, and he's working to fill all things. And this is a theme if you read Ephesians through Ephesians. He's talking about a saturation of all things, that all things are going to be united in Christ, Hebrews 1:11, that he wants to fill all things. There's a fullness of him who fills all in all. Glory saturation, Jesus saturation, gospel saturation, every school, every street, every neighborhood, every city, every workplace, that Jesus is working to fill all things, to unite all people to himself. And so he who's working, the victor who's got the victory, reigns and rules and has the authority and power, and then chooses, I'm going to distribute a special blessing of grace to you so that you can participate and go out in filling all things. We all matter. What is a gift? A special enablement, not just a talent. Who gets a gift? Everyone gets a gift who follows Jesus. And why does he give gifts? Well, we just spoke about it, really. It's so that there may be a building up, there might be a maturing, a blessing of each other, ultimately that Jesus may fill all things, that we would all be filled with the fullness of God, and that God is actually working through us in each other's lives. Oh, Jesus, may your will be done. We all matter. To build up the church, verse 12 and 16. And there's a movement towards maturity. So the gift that God gives you doesn't make you. Your identity isn't the gift that he gives. And the gift that he gives isn't for you. It's not for you. It's not about you. But it's to work through you. So Ephesians 3:2. We'll have that on the screen. Assuming that you heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. So Paul's reminding them, remember, I was given a grace, a gift, to steward for you. So I'm going to go back to the cross. It's like the cross is where the victory happens. This is where Jesus descends all the way, ascends all the way in victory, and now he who has victory gives gifts. One of my favorite shoe companies is Nisolo, and so this is the visual illustration of a gift, okay? Now some of you are thinking, am I actually going to get a pair of shoes today? No, it's empty, but this is the box that I had for this illustration. And so here's the thing. You know, when I was first taught about spiritual gifts and became a Christian, there was a sense of excitement, like, what gift do I think God gave me? Like, and there's the air, how's the water today, boys? It was a sense of, like, I hope God gives me a really good gift that feels good for me. Like, so I can be fulfilled and important and feel good about my gift. And actually recognizing that the gift that Jesus gives to me is not for me. Like, he doesn't give the gift to me that I can be like, oh, this is the gift he's given. It's for me. No, the gift is steward. He gives me a gift to steward. So the gift that he gives to me is actually so I can steward it and give it to somebody else. Like Nuver, who's sitting up there. And so God give a gift to you, a grace to you, that you would steward it and that you would give it to somebody else. That's why he's giving gifts. So that everybody, there we go, pass it through the room. All right, there's a gift given to you. You all matter so that we can actually help each other be built up. This is why he gives gifts. Maybe stop. It'll be so distracting through the rest of the time. But I think we got the illustration if you're in the room today. If you're watching online, you can think hopefully you can follow along. So if it's about me, then I consume rather than contribute. If it's about me, then I'll be more about comfort than about Jesus' commission. If it's about me, then I'll only serve if it serves me. If it's about me, then I'll only act if it makes me feel good. And so here is the challenge for me, is that I don't want to be driven by the water that I swim in. I want to be driven by the kingdom of God and the king that I serve. I think you can relate to that. So what a challenge for us. Because service, contribution, service is not about me, right? Like service is about somebody else. Service is about love. And the opposite of love is selfishness. Love is selflessness. It's less of self, but more of the other. This is service. This is what we are invited into. What a challenge for us. We all matter. So there's this funny little video that I've come across. Some of you may have seen it before because it's old, but it just kind of speaks to the challenge and dynamic of this. If you want to roll that now.
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys, right? Come here.
Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you.
Obviously a sarcastic and extreme video, right? Like, who would actually expect their car to get an oil change to choose to be a church? But here's the thing. What's the water that we're swimming in? This is the challenge that we face. The challenge that I face, the challenge that we face. That we need King Jesus to change us. That we can't necessarily always change the water that we're swimming in, but we can be changed within it. We all matter. We've all been gifted, and we all need equipping. Look at verse 10 to 12 with me. Continue on. We all need equipping. So he who descended is the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. So here's the thing. So God, he says that Jesus is working to fill all things, and in this work, he's given certain gifts to the church. Now he talks about like offices or specific roles. So every follower of Jesus has a grace, has a gift. And then to help us all mature and to grow in that, he gives certain offices, certain roles, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, or apest for short, to help mature the body of faith, to help equip, because we want to equip and multiply. And so there's a movement here of there's certain leaders given. And why are these leaders given as a gift to the church? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. See, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're a saint, and you're actually in full-time paid ministry, that all the money and resources of the world come from God, and that he actually, all of us, are get to be in ministry to serve. We're all servants. That to be a follower of Jesus is to be a full-time minister and to be a full-time missionary. But there's leaders that are given to the church, certain offices, to help equip the saints for that. So that this role, there's leaders within our body that are to help equip you. That's a part of my role. And so I don't know about you, but I grew up going to church things because I grew up going to church things. And my thought was that the people that were leaders did the ministry to me. Like, my role was to come and be like, I sure hope that preacher says a joke today because I'm so bored during those sermons. That's the thing, like, right, the water that we swim in, the air that we breathe. But there's a movement. We all need equipping, and that's why Jesus gave us certain gifts, certain people to help equip us, because we all have a part to play. And so the reason that we all need equipping, that's why he gave these roles, because we all need equipping. Otherwise, he wouldn't have given us different leaders with different gifts. And we see this often within our North American churches. The local church is often popularly led by shepherds and teachers. So someone that's a shepherd is naturally, they're caring, they're great to connect with people, maybe they're good at like giving high fives and hugs. Maybe you've met some of these people, you just feel loved and warm around them, right? I like being around shepherds, and I've had leaders who've been mentored me that are shepherds. It's so good. And other times, there's people that they love through teaching, or they love through training and inspiring. They're more apostolic, they want to help push us towards a vision and move outward. But we all need equipping. Verse 13. That's why he's given these gifts. Verse 13. We need equipping until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we all need equipping because we haven't arrived. Like, are you experiencing the fullness of Christ? Are you experiencing the fullness of the fullness of God? Are you at the pinnacle of maturity? Are we there? Right? Have we reached full unity of the faith? Have we reached the fullness of the knowledge of God and His Son yet? No. So that's why we still all need to be equipped. We still need to grow. We haven't arrived. So let's read on and look at verse 14 and 15. He says, so you want to mature to the measure of the fullness of Christ, verse 14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So the thing is, we need to be equipped, and that's why He's given certain roles. And we need to be equipped because Jesus wants to fill all things. He wants us to mature to know the knowledge of Him, where that there's a fullness of God. So we are not there yet. We still need to be equipped. We're still in the process of maturing. And then there's this movement. Then he gives us these examples, right? There's immaturity must be addressed. He talks about babies, a storm-tossed boat, and tricksters. And there's a sense that there's instability, there's divisiveness, that apart from us maturing, we will just drift to where we don't want to be. Like, there's a fragility of babies. And in a storm, a boat will get tossed around. And he's saying, without a movement of unity, without a movement of building each other up, without us all continuing to be equipped, we don't kid yourselves, we will all drift. There's a fragility, there's a distraction. Immaturity must be addressed in our lives. And he says we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. And so there's a picture, it's a picture of this. He's drawing, okay, there's the body, and who's the head of the body? Jesus. And every body part plays a part, and we're the body. So you're a finger, you're a toe, you're a heart, you're an ear. We all have a part to play. But we are all immature, needing to be matured and needing to help each other mature so that the body grows. Like, I don't know if you have seen people that go to the gym a lot and then they skip leg day. Have you noticed this? I have a picture. Okay? There's people that they don't do leg day. Or maybe you, on the cartoon side of things, you've seen like Boss Baby picture on Netflix, like a huge head and then a little body. And this is what came to my mind when Paul's writing, Jesus is the victor. He's the head and we're His body. But we need to mature. The body needs to grow. The body needs to be nourished. The body needs to be built up. Otherwise, it's like you've got the perfect head and you've got the body that skipped going to the gym. You got the legs that skipped leg day. Like, if the legs and the toes of the church are like, no, we're not being equipped. We're not growing. We're just along for the ride. Then you've got the body that skipped leg day. It's not going to flourish. He says the whole body needs to be grown up into Christ. We need to mature. You need to mature. I need to mature. We need to mature. And we all need to help equip. We need to build up so that others can lead out. I remember my mom when I was a teenager trying to correct me on something. And she was saying, when are you going to grow up? And I said, and I was so proud of this, it came in the moment, right? I wasn't even preparing for it. It just came out. I said, Mom, I'm going to be like Peter Pan. I'm never going to grow up, right? And that really unified our relationship. It really helped the conversation. But here's the thing. Some of us in the body of Christ need to recognize that it's time for us to not be like Peter Pan. It's time for us who are a part of the legs to hit up some leg day, because it matters. There's a grace that has been given to you. We all matter. There's a king There's a ruler. There's the head of the body, Jesus, who has brought victory and saved us. And he's looking to us to move through us and in us. And he's given us gifts to steward and pass around. And we need to be equipped and mature in those gifts. Who is helping equip you? And then this all leads to love. Verse 16 as we close. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Gifts are given to build up others in love. There's offices given to help build up the church in love. When the body is working properly, everyone is being built up in love. Love makes the world go round. And love is selfless. Love is humble. Humility is thinking of yourself less. Jesus was humble because Jesus is love. And Jesus chose to not think of himself, but to think of you and I. And so to choose to adjust our lives in order to build up others, in order to contribute and not just consume, that is maturity. That is loving. That is the way of Jesus. Jesus got low so that he could lift you and I. And as we mature in him, we choose to get low so that we can lift others. And Jesus went the lowest, all the way to the depths of the grave and death, all the way for you and I. And then he ascended to the highest, and he rules in resurrection victory. And that is our King and ruler. That is the example of love. And then he gives you and I gifts that we can grow in, that we can mature in, that we need to be equipped, and we need to help others equip. We need to get low to help lift others. And so when we say we want to equip and multiply, we want to build up so others can lead out, that takes humility. That's the way of Jesus, to say it's actually not about me. It's about me getting low to help lift others. To become an equipper takes humility. It is not about me and what works for me. It's about me putting this other person first, to pour into them and build them up. And to be built up takes humility. To say, I actually need to be equipped. I need to follow. I need to learn. I need help. Humility is love. And in love, we are built up. Could you stand? Jesus, thank you that you are building your kingdom and your church and that you are building us. Thank you that you went all the way down. We praise you because you have gone all the way up. We thank you that you invite us to be a part of it. We want to respond to you now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.